The Supreme Court today handed a victory to business interests in a labor dispute. By an 8-1 vote, the court ruled against unionized drivers who walked off the job leaving their trucks loaded with wet concrete. But NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg says there's more to this story. She joins us now. Hey, Nina.
Hey there.
Okay, so 8-1 seems pretty decisive, but tell us why people on the labor side are actually kind of relieved by this ruling.
This has been a pretty anti-labor court with three decisions against organized labor in the last 5 years, one of which actually reversed a 40-year-old precedent. So labor was scared of this case. Mm-hmm. It had precedent on its side dating back nearly 70 years, but the unions were scared that the Supreme Court's conservative supermajority would overturn long-established protections for unions and their ability to time their strikes. In the end, that didn't happen.
It did not happen. Okay, so what kind of protections are we talking about?
This was a case about a strike by the Teamsters Union against Glacier Northwest, which is a cement company in Washington State. After its contract had expired and negotiations broke down, the union orchestrated a walkout to take place after its drivers had loaded a large amount of wet concrete into Glacier's delivery trucks. The company sued the union in state court, claiming that by abandoning the loaded trucks, the union had endangered the company's equipment. Wet concrete, it explained, hardens easily, and the company had to initiate emergency maneuvers to offload the concrete before it destroyed the trucks.
Mm-hmm.
But the Washington Supreme Court ruled that Glacier's complaint should have been filed with the National Labor Relations Board. And for nearly 70 years, the Supreme Court has said that federal law gives the board authority to decide labor disputes, not the states or the state courts, as long as the conduct is even arguably protected or prohibited under the federal labor law. And that's the rule that the business community was gunning for and hoping, but ultimately failing, to eliminate.
Okay, so they didn't get their way, but the company did sort of win here, right?
Yes, it did. But this was a case of winning a relatively minor battle but losing the war.
Ah.
At least for now, the court did not overturn or otherwise disturb its longstanding rule, giving the NLRB broad authority in labor disputes and leaving unions free to time when they'll strike. So that was a big win for labor. But at the same time, the court majority decided the case in favor of the company in a very fact-specific way, and the court said the union's conduct in this particular case posed a serious and intentional risk of harm to the company's trucks and that, therefore, the case should not have been dismissed by the state Supreme Court.
And how did this 8-1 vote break down exactly?
It was a conservative-liberal coalition, believe it or not, with Justice Amy Coney Barrett writing the opinion and the court's three most conservative justices, Alito, Gorsuch, and Thomas, writing separately. They were clearly frustrated that the court didn't go further and reverse a lot of the existing protections for strikers' rights. In fact, Alito virtually invited Glacier or other business interests to come back and try again.
And what about the lone dissenter here?
Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson said that in her view, the union acted lawfully in timing its strike to put maximum pressure on the employer, and she pointed out that Glacier could have either locked out the union members or had on standby some non-union members because the company was on formal notice that a strike was possible at any time.
That is NPR's Nina Totenberg. Thank you, Nina.
Thank you.